Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
202 on Fan, and a very good Wednesday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon. 877-337-6666 is the phone number here. Of course, till 6 o'clock, Mike Francesa will come your way. Pete Hoffman back in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bro, how are you today?
Bro, I can't believe we're days away from Memorial Day, man.
That's unbelievable. Monday. Yep.
Time has really flown over the last 2 months. It's crazy.
Yep. Time waits for no one, and it won't wait for me. That's Mick Jagger and the Stones.
They were brilliant. What can you say?
That's it.
I was having flashbacks this morning because I'm sitting there reading about, you know, basically we are now at the point where the players and owners in baseball are negotiating through the New York Post. That's where we are. So the owners will leak something to Joel Sherman, then the players will leak something, and they'll basically yell at each other through a New York Post article, which is very encouraging that that's where we are in these negotiations. But I started having flashbacks to 1994 because I feel like that year I learned more about the world via the baseball strike than I did anything in school that year. And reading about the owners and reading about the players and all the rhetoric that they're using, it's giving me flashbacks to 1994 and what both sides have to realize, specifically the players. Forget about if there's no baseball, how bad that'll be. We've talked about that.
Yep.
But no matter what the players agree to, even if they say, all right, we're going to cut our salaries even more, what do you think is going to happen to free agents next year?
Oh, no question. No question about it. No doubt.
They're not getting paid.
Nope.
Nope. And trust me, I may be more pro-player than pro-owner in this discussion, but next December, when we're talking about how Mookie Betts can't get a big contract, I'm not going to feel bad for him. I'm going to be on the owner's side saying, hey, they lost a ton of money. How are they paying Mookie Betts?
Yeah.
You know, how are they getting them?
The more I think about this, I was thinking about this last night. Do the owners look at it and say, you know what? As bad as it is, and as bad as a PR hit as it would be, and all of that with the back and forth, the tug of war, whatever you want to say they're doing right now, do you think they look at it and say, okay, let's suck it up and look at this as a lost season and move on? You ever think of that? Because I do. That does go through my mind, I have to tell you.
I think it's possible. I always think that there are some owners that probably view it that way, and then there are some owners that say no, because I think every team's financial situation is a little bit different. And most owners are going to look at the bottom line more so than winning a championship. And so it does concern me that there are going to be some owners, and who knows, maybe even some players who say, we don't want to do this.
Right.
I'm hopeful that the majority want to play and they want to find a way to play. But yeah, it's in the back of your mind because here's the thing. Let's say you are an owner, Joe, who says, I'm better off not playing. You can't blow this up because the long-term impact on the sport is going to be devastating. So if you don't play this year, unless you convince all of us it's for safety reasons,
right,
and it's
right,
because of this right, virus, well, right, then I don't know if baseball is going to be able to recover from shutting down a season based on money.
Yeah.
So even in the short term, if you think you're better off not playing, I think it would be a huge mistake long term.
Well, look, I do too, but I just wonder about, you know, what they're thinking. I just don't know. Because if they're going to get a season going, man, they got to start moving now. Like I said, you better have your idea, your plan ready to go by June 1st.
Yeah.
You got a couple weeks. The days are going by. It's less than 2 weeks now. You got to get that done so you can get your spring training in, you know, your couple, however weeks it's going to be, and kick the season off in early July. I mean, I think the time is moving quick, bro.
No
doubt.
You're
going to get to a point where you're going to have a point of no return.
Yeah. You know? And look, I understand that a lot of things have been leaked out and you never know what's happening privately. But if you believe that everything that's been happening via leaks is true, mm-hmm, the owners haven't asked the players yet for a pay cut.
Right. Not yet.
Which means we're in high school,
right,
and the guy wants to ask the girl out and
right,
is going through friends to find out if she's interested.
Yeah, right.
But you're so damn afraid that she's just going to say no. You're
right,
so afraid.
Right.
You got to talk about it.
Well,
look, the players are going to say no to revenue sharing.
Anyway.
Right. You got to ask. The players are going to say no to revenue sharing.
Right.
But maybe the players are going to come back with something else. I don't know if the players, Joe, are literally going to draw a line in the sand and say, no negotiation. That's it.
Right.
I mean, so the conversation, the dialogue has to start because to your point, the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking, man. I mean, you know, if you got to have some semblance of spring training, I mean, like I said, I mean, you don't want to be starting. I really think if you're going to get the season in, even half a season, you need to start by the 4th of July. I think at this point now, if you wait till August, you start getting into August, it's going to be too late.
It's going to be too late. And one of the reasons why I can confidently say that now, and maybe I wouldn't have said it a month ago, is because our buddy John Heyman even said they want the season over by the end of October.
Right. They don't want to play into December. Right.
They don't want to do
right,
it. They don't want to do it for many reasons, a few reasons.
Right.
One of which is they're afraid, hey, what if there's a second wave of this virus and we have to shut things down?
Right.
Like in the middle of a championship series.
Right.
So
right,
I think for that reason, Joe, you're right. You got to start this thing by first or second week of July. And so this is all occurring with everybody watching because there's no sports to distract you.
No, they're under the microscope right now.
And they got to get it done soon. You know, you look at the other sports. The NFL and the NBA are going to be impacted in a huge way over the next couple of years because the salary caps are going to come down.
Yep.
The revenue is going to be so way down for both sports. That one scenario I read on the NBA end of things is that teams in the luxury tax threshold, it's going to explode. There's going to be a higher number because that number is going to come down. So a team like the Warriors, instead of paying like $10 million in tax, may have to pay $50 million in tax because the number came down.
Now,
maybe the NBA will do some things to change that. But long story short, guys' salaries are going to come down.
Of course. Of course they are. They're going to have to. And what did I hear Ackerman say? 38% of the NFL revenue is from ticket sales and, you know, the park and the concessions and all that. 38%. So that's still 62%. You wonder if they could survive. But they probably could for the year without fans.
Right.
But like you said, now – the following year, that salary cap has got, you know,
it's going to come down.
Salaries are going to go way down. They have to.
Yeah.
And the players, to me, would have to understand that, too.
Well, they have to understand it because it's a formula. It's not a negotiated number.
Right.
There's a formula that dictates the NBA salary cap and the NFL salary cap, and it's going to come down, and hence player salaries are going to come down. In Major League Baseball, look, if you're Giancarlo Stanton, you feel okay. You got this long guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. You're never going to think about opting out. Opting out was out the window anyway, but now it's really out the window.
Right.
And, you know, Jacob DeGrom, Garrett Cole, Bryce Harper, they got all their guaranteed contracts. They're fine. Mookie Betts, and I'm not saying I feel bad for him because he's going to be okay. He's going to make his money. But Mookie Betts, Joe, is not getting the contract that he would have gotten 6 months ago.
No way.
Just not happening.
And that's going to be everybody, though, bro. It's going to be everybody. And the players are going to have to accept that that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
No, and you can't cry. See, if the players cry, oh, here we go. The owners are colluding again.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
They may collude. They may be colluding. But your numbers are coming down because the revenue's not going
to
be there.
Well, that's why they need to be talking now. And they need to be talking, bro, not only about getting this season off and how they're going to play it, but down the road and start to talk. Look, we play this year. We're going to lose a lot of money. You got to understand going forward that we're not going to be able to pay you the salaries that we have been able to pay you in the past. It's going to take it may take a little while. I mean, who knows? It may take a couple years to come back to that level. And the players are going to, you know, that's something that needs to be discussed, I even think, now. Even that now.
Well,
you know, beyond just this season, what's going to happen.
What's scary is that I think we knew that when the CBA runs out after 2021, and that's when the CBA runs
out,
there was going to be a battle, that there was going to be a war between the players and the owners. And this situation only complicates it even more.
Indeed.
The players were already ready to strike a year ago, and now with salaries coming down, and they don't believe the owners, and I think that's the other problem. There's no level of trust. There's no good relationship between the two sides, and it's certainly not getting better any day when there's leaks into the New York Post about what was sent in an email in the middle of March. And here's the problem, and I'll let the owners know this for this, so they fully understand. And I think a lot of fans will agree with this. We don't give a damn about a leaked email in the middle of March. We don't all look at it as a smoking gun that proves the players should have known. We're all going to be ticked off at everybody if you can't figure this out.
Yep.
Don't play a PR game. Don't leak out an email as if, oh, it's going to convince everyone. The players are a bunch of selfish you-know-whats. We're going to rip everybody. They're going to rip the players. We know the players never win this kind of PR battle, but neither are the owners. No one's going to sit back and say, oh, well, the owners, they were in the right. It's going to hurt the sport in such a catastrophic way. And I think back to 1994 and how they tried to recover and get out of it. And look, effectively, they did. I mean, baseball is still a popular sport. It's not the NFL. But look, I would tell you, and I think you'd agree with me on this, the NFL was passing MLB long before the strike in 94.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Yes.
And the difference between the two sports would have been the same today with a strike or without a strike.
No. The NFL was, you know, before 1994, the NFL had already passed Major League Baseball. I don't think there's no question about that.
Yeah.
No question.
And what hurts a sport more than anything is, look, there have been lockouts in the NBA, and we sort of forget about it. We barely remember it.
Right.
There's been work stoppages in the NFL. We remember it, but nothing affects a sport more than canceling a season and canceling a champion.
Yep.
It happened to the NHL. It happened to Major League Baseball. That's the risk you pose. When you miss a few months like the NBA has or an offseason like the NFL has, and obviously you go back further, the NFL had the replacement players. They cut down the season in 82. We all know about that. It doesn't infect a sport, in my view, nearly as much as wiping out a season.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, that's a big hit. You know, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, we saw hockey do it. You know, did it hurt hockey? It helped hockey from the aspect that it got the salary cap that they wanted. And I always looked at it that it made it better for the Rangers in that regard.
Right.
It stopped them from stupid spending that, you know, really hurt them. It actually made it better for them. But again, that's hockey. Here's one thing with the players have to understand. I know they don't trust the owners at all, and I get it, and nor should they.
Right.
But this is one time when there's no question that the owners are going to lose money. I mean, there is no doubt right now that they don't play. The owners are losing money, no doubt about it. Whether they don't play, whether they play with no fans, they're losing money. There is no doubt about that. So the players have to understand. They may not trust the owners, and rightfully so, but this is a case where, you know what, there is no disputing that the owners are losing a lot of money here. That's the one thing the players have to come to grips with that.
Yeah, I think the only the key is, well, how much? You know, you mentioned before, right? And even the NFL, you mentioned before what the NFL is potentially losing by having a season.
I heard Ackerman say 38% if you take away no fans in the building.
Right.
Just with that said, 38% of the revenue.
I heard that number this morning as well, and I thought about it for a second. I can't tell you if I know for a fact it's true or not. No one knows.
We don't know.
But I don't know if you feel this way. I was surprised by that number.
That high or that low?
I thought it was higher than I thought it would be. I really did. Because think about it, Joe. There's 236 NFL games, right? Isn't that the number if you do the math?
Yeah.
It's 236 NFL games.
Right.
Sure, most teams sell out. You're talking about 60, 70,000 people there.
Right.
But think about the money they bring in from everything else.
Oh, sure.
From the Sunday ticket, from CBS, from NBC.
Well, the TV money, I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, that's why, you know, even with 38% taken away, they still got, you know, 62% of the revenue, over half of the revenue was still coming in.
I thought it was higher than that.
I understand. No, right. I get that. And I'm not saying I disagree with you. You know, I thought maybe 25%, something like that. 38% is a little high. They factor in all the merchandise. Now, I think people will still buy merchandise. Even if you don't go to the game, you know, you can go online to the websites.
Oh, yeah.
You're still going to have people buying merchandise.
I agree, yes.
I don't think that's going to change. You know, you're going to, you know, people are into it. They're into the team. Hey, I want to get this jersey. I want to do this. I want to do that. They're still gonna, so they're going to still make some money from that. But 62%, I see, baseball, I wonder, bro. I bet you baseball, if you take away no fans from baseball at all, that's going to put their revenue below 50%, I would think.
The reason I don't think that.
If the NFL is 38%, baseball's got to be lower. The baseball's got to be over 50% if you take away the fans, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think that when you're the Mets and you're the Yankees and you have a regional TV network that brings in as much money as it does.
They do bring in a lot of money, but that's not every team, though, now.
No, that's why I think every team is different in this case.
I remember
we were talking about the Cubs last week, and I found it hard to believe when they said, the owner said it was 70%. Like, that one to me was just over the top.
Oh, no, 70% I don't buy.
It was way too high.
I don't buy 70%. That's too much.
I think every team is different, but part of what the players are saying is show us. They're saying show us the books, because I don't think they know the answer either, but what they do know is they don't trust the owners.
Right.
That's what they know.
I don't think the players, the owners don't trust the players either. I mean, I don't think anybody trusts anybody. That's a big problem.
Yeah, that's a problem when you're negotiating a new CBA.
Right.
I had read this morning about, and this is NHL related, but, you know, it relates to the NBA and it could relate to baseball too, that NHL teams have done social distancing models for people in seats. So if they can open up their building and say, we can do it, but we have to socially distance our fans based on people being 6 feet apart in every direction, how many people could they put in the arena?
Right.
And the answer, what, you have a guess for an NHL arena what that number would look like?
Well, what is the average arena size?
Figure 18, about 18,000, yeah.
I can't believe it's more than half. It's probably, you know, probably half that, probably 9,000 people.
Much less.
Really, huh?
Between 2,000 and 2,500.
Wow.
That's a very, very small number.
Very low. Yeah.
So, and then you've got to ask yourself, and I'm not saying we have the answer to this, but you got to ask yourself the cost of opening up the building and paying employees who are going to enforce these rules and paying the people to work there. And is all of that going to be worth?
Worth it for 2,000 people.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to keep an eye on. Now, that number would be higher in a baseball stadium, obviously.
Higher, yeah.
If Yankee Stadium or City Field
says. But, I mean, if you're
says,
telling me it's a 50, let's say a 45,000-seat baseball stadium, if you're telling me 18,000 goes down to 2,000, well, then in 45,000, you're probably talking about 10, 12,000 people.
Yeah, probably less. Probably less.
Something like that.
Yeah,
right?
And that number just may not be worth it to a lot of teams.
Right.
We'll get your calls, 877-337-6666. We'll talk a little hockey today, too, on what their plans are. Pierre LeBrun of TSN will join us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And there was a classic baseball game I definitely got to bring up later.
Well, let me say this while you say that. And I watched a tremendous NBA Game 7 last night, which we'll get into that.
Nice.
I had forgotten about this game, and what a game this game turned out to be. So we'll get into that as well.
Real quick, I got to say this because I was really sad to hear some news last night. You know, obviously, I run a baseball league, which is not happening this year with everything that's going on.
Right.
And we used to have a kid that showed up. He played for the Mongos. And you remember that kid in high school or Little League who was just so much better than everybody else?
Right.
He'd come
up.
He'd pitch. He would dominate.
He'd do it all. Right.
He would
do
it all.
Right.
One of the guys who did that in our league was a kid named Scott Schachter, and he was tremendous. And I found out that he passed away over the weekend at the young age of 29.
29.
And it's
was this virus related, or
I'm not sure specifically 29. What happened, but way too young. And he was a great kid. He was humble, despite the fact that he was
very good.
So good. And was a nice guy, and he'll be sorely missed.
Sorry to hear that for his entire family. Well, 29, that's not good. It's never good, but that's, you know, you didn't even get a chance to live your life, you know.
No doubt. So to his family, I hope they realize how much we all loved him when he played. He was a great dude. He was a tremendous athlete. I remember he would always try to help others. And he was one of those guys where when he was on the mound, You knew you were going to have a tough at-bat.
Right, I hear you.
And luckily, Scott struck me out basically every time. I mean, he dominated me. But I faced him one time with the bases loaded and one out in a tie game.
Drag one?
No. And I knew he had to throw me a fastball, and I hit a little ground ball for a game-winning hit, and it was the cheapest hit ever.
Seeing eye single, huh?
Seeing eye beyond belief.
Luis Soho in the 2000 World Series, right?
Pretty much, except softer.
Right.
And I would always tell him, hey, I got you, man. And he always had a smile about it, even though we both knew the truth, which was I really didn't get him. Right. I mean, I hit a weak ground ball.
Well, you take it, man.
No doubt.
One for one ever, and it's a game winner, you'll take it.
But he was a great, great guy.
Sorry to hear it.
And I'm so sorry to hear that. So my condolences to his family and to his friends. We'll come back. We'll get your calls. Beningo and Roberts here in the afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.